From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Farming Country. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. It's Saturday, February 7th. Well, this morning, we're catching up with Catskill Mountain Keepers Program Manager, Taylor Jaffe. It's the organization's 20-year anniversary, and we're going to talk about the past, present, and future of Catskill Mountain Keeper.
Mountain Keeper really came from a background of being a watchdog for the Catskills and really getting everyone together to advocate at the local level for solutions.
Then we're heading to Wall and Popak Brewing Company in Hawley, Pennsylvania, where the brewery was just crowned Best Brewery of 2025 by Beer Connoisseur.
We're in this little town of Hawley, Pennsylvania, making world-class beer.
All of that in Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report, but first, news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Trump says he won't apologize for posting a racist video depicting former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama as apes. Speaking aboard Air Force One on Friday night, Trump told reporters that he didn't make a mistake and said he's been supportive of Black Americans.
Nobody has been, and that's why I got a tremendous, the highest vote with male Black voters that they've seen in many, many decades. I've done great with the Black voters. They've been great to me. I've been great to them. Black voters have been great to me. I've been great to them. And I am, by the way, the least racist president you've had in a long time.
Trump says he didn't see the entire video. The White House initially defended the post before it was deleted. The video drew widespread backlash, including from civil rights groups and lawmakers from both parties. The federal appropriations bill passed by Congress includes funding for school safety enhancements at two South Texas school districts, including Uvalde. Texas Public Radio's Camille Phillips reports that's where 19 children and two teachers were killed in a mass shooting in 2022.
Standing outside a recently closed elementary school in San Antonio, Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez says every school district in America should have a space to train for emergencies.
When you talk about Uvalde, what comes to mind, minutes matter, seconds matter, training matters, and we can't think it's not going to happen to us.
Gonzalez secured $4.2 million each for both Uvalde and Northeast ISD in San Antonio. The San Antonio School District is using the money to convert the closed school into a space where police and other staff can practice scenarios like responding to a school shooting. I'm Camille Phillips in San Antonio.
An official investigation has found that TikTok is violating a European Union law because it's so addictive. NPR's John Ruwitch reports the app may have to make some changes or face a fine.
The European Commission, which is the executive arm of the EU, says features like TikTok's infinite scroll, autoplay, and push notifications are in breach of the EU's Digital Services Act. It says those and other design features, quote, fuel the urge to keep scrolling and shift the brain of users into autopilot mode. That may lead to compulsive behavior and could harm the physical and mental well-being of its users, including minors. It says TikTok disregarded important indicators of compulsive use and failed to implement reasonable proportionate and effective measures to mitigate risks. TikTok says in a statement the findings are false and misleading, and it'll challenge them. John Ruwitch, NPR News.
Wall Street ended the week hitting a major milestone for the first time ever. The Dow crossed the 50,000 mark. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Kimberly Izarm. All 21 Orange County legislators voted yes on Thursday night on a resolution to oppose building an ICE facility in Chester or anywhere in the county.
Toohey?
Yes.
Turnbull?
Yes.
Totell?
Yes.
21 ayes.
The Trump administration plans to build 23 new ICE facilities, according to an investigation by the Washington Post. More than 250 people turned out to an Orange County legislative meeting on Thursday to oppose the plans. Dozens of people made public comments for nearly 2.5 hours, urging the legislature to oppose the proposed facility located at the former Pep Boys warehouse. Only one person spoke in strong support of President Trump's mass immigration raids.
They zip-tied U.S.
U.S. citizens and U.S. children on the street in pajamas. When did that become acceptable to zip-tie children?
Orange County legislator and Democratic caucus leader Genesis Ramos introduced the resolution in January. She says unanimous bipartisan support shows that opposing an ICE facility in Chester transcends ideological differences.
It is important that we send a strong and loud message to the federal government that we do not want an inhumane ICE facility in our backyard. And so this is really to make the position of the legislature clear that we don't welcome this facility in our backyard.
The Department of Homeland Security has purchased several warehouses already in 2026 in Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Maryland. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Jarl and Pamela Moan, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange, Sullivan, and Rockland, a publicly supported philanthropic institution. Information at CFOSRNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izarm. Well, I am kicking off this morning with a happy Black History Month this February. This is such an important time to celebrate, the legacy of Black farmers and Black small business owners, especially in our region. So much of our agricultural systems here in the United States is rooted in Black and Indigenous practices. And so just wanted to take a moment and wish y'all a happy Black History Month this February. Fighting highway expansion and fracking in New York are just some of the big fights the Catskill Mountain Keeper has championed over the years. This year, the climate advocacy organization turns 20 years old. Joining me now to talk about what's in the works for 2026 at Catskill Mountain Keeper and state advocacy efforts is Program Manager at Catskill Mountain Keeper, Taylor Jaffe. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Kim. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Well, maybe let's start with 2026 look aheads. I know it is your 20th anniversary at Catskill Mountain Keeper. Tell me about a little bit about what's in the works for the year.
Yeah, we've got a lot of exciting work going on. We're 20 years old, so we've really got this down. Mountain Keeper is here because we care about the Catskill Park. We care about these communities. We are committed to protecting the park and, deeply committed to the network of community members who are devoted to this work as well. This year we've got everything going on from our Route 17 work to, pollinator plantings and enhancing, native plants for pollinators. We're fighting overdevelopment in this region. We've got stewards who are boots on the ground. We're working on farms and agricultural work. So we've got a whole host of programs going on and a whole bunch of advocacy also to support both local planning and local advocacy all the way up to sort of state and regional climate and other work.
Taylor, it's so amazing to hear you talk about the work that you guys currently do and how that work has evolved over, the decades now. Maybe we could talk a little bit about some of the policy advocacy efforts that's in the works. Just a couple of weeks ago in January, the New York Governor Kathy Hochul held her State of the State address. She talked about her plans for everything from childcare to immigration to nuclear energy. I'm curious, just from an environmental advocacy organization's perspective, what stuck out to you?
What stuck out to me is that we have, affordability is really the talk of the town. It's the buzzword for right now and for this legislative session. But when we talk about affordability, it is a real shame that we're not also talking about renewable energy. To bring nuclear into the conversation, that is the longest and most costly type of energy production, not to mention it brings, you know, toxic pollutants to communities. So to have affordability be kind of the linchpin of this agenda without bringing renewables into the conversation is really a shame. And so Mountain Keeper, you know, we thankfully there are no nuclear sites being proposed in the Catskill region, but that they are being proposed across New York State. And so we, you know, stand with our allies, especially Indigenous nations, where a lot of these locations are being proposed, you know, working to center the conversation on what we know does work, and that is solar. I think we are on track to meet the solar generation required by the Climate Act and on time and under budget. So, you know, we really need to be talking about these local community solutions that we know work and that we know benefit folks and give us the energy we need without the pollutants.
And I know that you're encouraging folks to follow in the footsteps of, you know, partner organizations like Environmental Advocates New York. There is, of course, still time from now in between when the budget gets passed. So there's a lot of negotiations happening. Can you talk to me a little bit about what you and some of the partners are asking for when it comes to the state budget?
Yeah, the biggest thing for us when we talk about the state budget is making sure that the Catskill Park has the funding that it needs to continue thriving. The Catskill Park is an area of 700,000 acres, which is about the size of Connecticut, and it intersects all of these different counties, towns, cities. It really takes a lot of funding to make sure that the Catskill Park is preserved, protected, and that these communities have the resources they need. And this year, the Environmental Protection Fund is where that budget line item comes from. And we are dedicated to, you know, sort of retaining the funding levels for the Catskill and Adirondack Park. And what that looks like this year is that we want to maintain at least $425 million for the Environmental Protection Fund and begin working to increase that appropriation to $500 million annually. We want to maintain $10 million dedicated forest preserve funding under state land stewardship, maintain $90 million for DEC capital projects, and then, of course, maintain funding for visitor centers, educational stewards, research and monitoring. And this, of course, includes funding for Catskill Mountain Keeper's Trail Steward Program. And we're really excited to be offering that program for its sixth year this coming season. When we're lobbying, we're certainly lobbying on behalf of other bills that will, you know, support the good ideas that come out and support renewables and all of the other sort of environmental protections that we need. But when we're talking about the budget, Mountain Keeper is often working with our allies to talk about how do we make sure the Catskill Park has the funding that it needs.
Well, definitely looking forward to seeing those advocacy efforts that Mountain Keeper will continue to push forward. And I know that you'll continue to advocate for. That's so great to hear. One of the biggest campaigns, you know, Catskill Mountain Keeper has been leading is the Rethink Route 17 Alliance, focused on stopping all the plans for highway expansion and reinvesting those efforts into local communities. Tell me a little bit about where the campaign is right now.
Yeah, so this is a big year for the campaign. Sometime this summer is when we might expect a draft environmental impact statement on the project. So this would sort of be where the Department of Transportation says, hey, this is the alternative that we're really looking at. Here's what it says. Here are the possible environmental impacts that could come from this alternative. The real opportunity that we see right now, there have been announcements that there's a study coming for transit west of the Hudson, and that would encompass the Route 17 corridor, as well as quite a few of the counties in our Catskills, Mid-Hudson Valley region. And when we're talking about, you know, doing this great study for transit and taking a look at where are people traveling, how is commuting happening, what could be possible, that totally aligns with the alternate vision we see, which is investing in more transit, investing in more modes of transportation for our communities. Here we have this $1.4 billion project proposal. We want to see that record of decision, or, you know, that alternative continue to be delayed, this pause that we're in right now, or really a delay on the project, we want that to continue until this transit study has happened, so that way its recommendations can influence the Route 17 project proposal. We think that's a really, we're really excited about that study. And with $1.4 billion on the table, we want to make sure that the New York State Department of Transportation is using all the information available to make an informed decision that's going to really be positively impactful for our communities.
And just a note for listeners, the New York State Department of Transportation actually hit pause on, as Taylor pointed out, hit pause on this plan last fall, I believe, after significant community pushback, including from Catskill Mountain Keeper and the Alliance. You know, Taylor, we're kind of just getting started in 2026, and I am so excited to hear and also celebrate Catskill Mountain Keeper's 20th anniversary, as you mentioned. I'm curious, just for you, you've seen the organization over the years. Tell me a little bit about what Mountain Keeper means to you, especially in 2026.
Yeah, Mountain Keeper is so important to me. I grew up here in the Catskills, grew up farming with my family, and Mountain Keeper has been my local organization, you know, since it was founded in 2006. And I've watched this organization take on some incredible battles and win, including, you know, the fracking fight, the casino fight. Mountain Keeper really came from a background of being a watchdog for the Catskills and really getting everyone together to advocate at the local level for solutions. Mountain Keeper has then gone on to be really key in implementing the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act and implementing other state level policies, continuing to advocate for the Catskill Park. And so we've got this really great history and identity of being a watchdog, but also starting to think bigger picture. How do we create the Catskills that we want to live in? How do we, you know, take this incredible community, all these incredible resources, make sure they're protected for future generations, but also, you know, how can we use this to our advantage? How can we make sure that we've got thriving communities, a bolstered economy, all of these great things? And so I'm really excited about the work we're doing at Mountain Keeper, because of course we continue that advocacy and protecting against those threats to the park and to our communities. But our work is also sort of really forward thinking. And so what is the next, what do we want to see in the next 5, 10, 20 years? We want to see better transportation. We want to see more native plants that promote our pollinator health and farm and agricultural health. We want to see development that is aligned with our community needs, not overdevelopment and, you know, kind of crazy glamping proposals, but housing where it makes sense, affordable housing where it makes sense. And so we're in a really great place, I think, to have such a strong network of community support that it's a huge area that we're looking at, again, the size of Connecticut, but right. we have folks all across it who are deeply committed to this work and deeply committed to the Catskills. And so it's really a pleasure to be able to work with all of these folks and think through the Catskills that we want to see in the next 20 plus years moving forward.
I think that's such a beautiful way to encapsulate just how special and how much of an anchor this organization is to the region. Also exciting to hear the ways that the organization is thinking about the possibilities of the mission. When we talk about climate and the environment, we're also talking about, you know, housing, food justice, et cetera. Taylor, before we sign off, do you want to just let folks know how they can stay plugged into the work?
Absolutely. The best way to stay plugged into the work is to go to our main page at www.catskillmountainkeeper.org. And from there, you'll be able to learn more about us. You'll be able to join our emailing list and our work. There's a tab called Our Work, and you can find all of our programs there. And under each one, there are usually even places where you could do a deeper dive and, for example, sign up for the Route 17 newsletter or sign up to be included in our Catskills Native Plant and Seed Alliance. So we've got a lot of different things going on, but you're going to find all of that under our CatskillMountainKeeper.org website.
We've been chatting with Taylor Jaffe, Program Manager at Catskill Mountain Keeper. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Up next, you know what time it is? This week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. Faithfully following his master Orion across the sky is Canis Major, the great dog. Canis Major sits just below Orion to the east. Canis Major is most famous for containing the dog star Sirius. Those of us familiar with Orion can use him to find Sirius. Draw a line through Orion's belt to the east. Following this line, approximately 8 times as far from Orion's belt as his belt is wide, will point to Sirius. Sirius is the brightest star in the night sky. At a mere 8.6 light years away from Earth, it is only twice as far away as the closest star to us. Sirius, or the dog star, as it is often referred to, first makes its appearance in the dawn skies of August, ushering in the dog days of summer. The name Sirius is in reference to those heat-filled days that the star is associated with. The word Sirius is a Latinized version of the Greek word Sirius, meaning scorching. The star is hotter, more massive, and about 20 times brighter than the sun. Canis Major is up in the evenings in the southern sky. The constellation resembles a stick figure dog, with the bright star Sirius being the collar of the dog. There is a small triangle above Sirius that makes up the head. Be sure to head out this week and see Canis Major in the southern sky. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard, reminding you to keep looking up.
Thanks to Keith for that report. Well, down in Holly, Pennsylvania, the folks at Wallen Paw Pack Brewing Company were celebrating. The Beer Connoisseur magazine awarded Wallen Paw Pack Brewing Company in Holly, Pennsylvania, the crown of Best Brewery in 2025. This was such an amazing accomplishment that Farm and Country had to head down to visit the brewery to find out more about the process. I headed to Holly, Pennsylvania a few weeks ago and chatted with Becky Ryman, who's the owner of Wallen Paw Pack Brewing Company, and Logan Ackerley, head brewer. Here is some of that conversation.
I'm Becky Ryman. I'm the owner of Wallen Paw Pack Brewing Company. And yeah, we're in the brewery right now, and we make a lot of magic happen in this building. We've been here for 8 years, and we originally started the brewery to kind of have a place for people to gather when they're at the lake. We wanted a spot that was fun, something, you know, people can kind of come in, have a great meal, get back out on the water to whatever activity they were doing. And we started kind of big and grew even bigger right away, which was kind of wild. And here we are today making beer and shipping it all over Northeast PA and hoping to further our distribution soon.
What has it meant for you, you know, 8 years in, what has it meant for you to serve the residents of Pike County?
I think it's been amazing. I think we've been a staple for the residents of Pike County to come in here, Wayne County as well, you know, and have a great place to go that's consistent. Quality, fun, and a lot of my staff have been here the whole time, so they've made some tremendous relationships and friendships, which is really special. And, you know, we've welcomed in people from all over the place because it's such a big tourist community here at the lake. So we get people in from Maryland and New York and New Jersey, and they spread the word to their friends. So it's really become this place for people in town and out of town to gather.
Head brewer Logan Ackerley then walked me through the process of making beer.
A brew day, we call the hot side, takes about 6 hours on average. On a brew day, we mix grain and water and hot water. The grain steeps for, on average, about an hour. Then we transfer it to another tank, and we separate, in that tank, we separate the liquid and the solid. So that grain that we just mixed with that water, we only want the liquid now. So the grain stays in the tank, and the liquid goes to the next tank. That tank is our boil kettle. That's where we're going to boil. It's called wort now, the sugar water. We boil that for an hour, and that's where we start to add hops, which are characteristic ingredient of beer. The earlier we add the hops in that hour, the more bitterness we get. The later we add it, the more flavor we get. And then it goes into the fermenters. We add yeast, and for on average about a week, sometimes two, it'll ferment. Once it's done fermenting, we transfer it to another tank and let it sit on average another 2 weeks. For our lagers, they can be 6 to 8 weeks. So total ales, we do 2 to 3 weeks. Lagers, we do 6 to 8 weeks.
How do you decide which hops to put in?
That's kind of style dependent. There are a few major hop growing regions in the world. Germany, the Pacific Northwest, New Zealand has been coming up, the Czech Republic. First, we base it on style. If I'm making a German lager, I'm going to use German hops. And then a lot of our IPAs are American hops. So all of the styles have their own kind of profiles. So hazy IPA, you want that fruity, juicy hop profile. So we go with something like Citra or Mosaic in those. Whereas the West Coast IPA that we're brewing today is a little more old school. You want that like piney grapefruit character. So we went Centennial and Simcoe in that. It kind of all depends on the style.
Tell me a little bit about what are some of your favorite beers that you have here.
For myself and my production team, I think we would all agree that No Frills Pils is our favorite beer that we make on a regular basis, I should say. We've definitely had some one-offs that are wow us, but No Frills Pils is a German-style lager, super clean, nice German hop expression. That one's really a labor of love, too. Like, the brew day is actually, like, 10 hours instead of 6, and then it sits in the tank for at least 8 weeks, and that's probably our favorite. And then Kroon, our Belgian Golden Strong, has been the most successful for us, I guess you'd say, in competition at least. The first time we brewed that, we won a World Beer Cup award with it, so it was pretty awesome, and we've won several awards with it since. Even though I'm not big on drinking 9% beers all the time, it has a place in my heart.
The brewery just was awarded or named the top brewery of 2025, according to Beer Connoisseur. Tell me a little bit about receiving that recognition and what it means for you as a brewery here in Northeast Pennsylvania.
I mean, it's a huge honor. I didn't get into brewing to win awards and accolades and all that. I work with a great production team. Shout out to Matt and John. I can't do this without them. So it's really nice to see them get some credit for the hard work they put in. And just as for the brewery itself, you know, we're a brewery in Northeast Pennsylvania. We're not in California or Colorado, like the big brewing states. So for us to be on the national stage or international for this, because it was open to all breweries around the world, it's big. It's big for the brewery. I don't know how else to say. Like, I just feel we're in this little town of Hawley, Pennsylvania, making world-class beer.
Thanks to Becky and Logan for showing me around. You can find them at Wallen Popack Brewing Company at 73 Wellwood Avenue in Hawley, Pennsylvania. I went home with a couple cans of their No Frills Pilsner, which was absolutely delicious. A few upcoming events from our community calendar. Wednesday, February 11th, Penn State Extension will host a webinar on managing horses in cold weather. It covers research-based strategies to keep horses healthy and comfortable throughout the winter months ahead. And don't forget, the Livingston Manor Rotary Club has their Rotary Park open for ice skating. They have skates available for use at no charge. You can check out Livingston Manor Rotary Club on Facebook for the most up-to-date hours. You can find more events and information at wjffradio.org. And that's all for this Saturday show. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. Stick around. Up next, it is Catskill character, Madonna Fellenberg. You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, NPR. Catch you next week.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors. Celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. on Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail. Morgan-Outdoors.com.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Nagin Farsad gave you the kind of expert analysis of the upcoming Winter Olympics that only we can provide.
Famously, Luge is very
all
bisexual.
Right, wait a minute. I was about to say.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join us as we deliver the same kind of insights about the Super Bowl, and we talk to the nation's favorite librarian about what book to read instead of watching it. That's on this week's Wait, Wait from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
This week on Cat's Cast, road salt is a tempting treat for our North American porcupines, but it can be a deadly one.
The salt impregnates all of the deadwood by the side, all the twigs, and of course when they go down to the highway, the cars kill them.
Plus, a Catskill connection to a famous Western artist.
To be out in nature and sketch and paint there was really important to him.
Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on Radio Catskill.
On this week's On the Media, the reporter who brought down Jeffrey Epstein is finding new revelations in the latest files released by the Justice Department.
Going after the men, yes, we should do that too, but we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that we were failed by our criminal justice system.
The quest for accountability continues on this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.